Dear Heavenly Father, we as always, in preparing for this time of study in your word, for growing in our knowledge and understanding of your word, Lord, we continue to thank you for all that you've provided, not only the word itself that's in writing that we have and we can read and study and grow and help us in our understanding of it. But you also have given us your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you give us by faith, our faith that we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus gave us, through the Father, the Holy Spirit. And so we count on the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us to our greater understanding of your word as we study it. So be with us this day. We thank you for what this day represents. We thank you for what we see in this place, this day, the work that's gone into setting up the stage for our Vacation Bible School tonight and for the next four nights, and all the decorations and everything. So when you see the Nile River here or the other things that are here in the room where I usually teach from, it's just surrounded by the story of the Egyptians and Joseph in Egypt. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to show us in the Psalms. But we also thank you ahead of time for what's going to happen in our Vacation Bible School. We pray for each one of the young people that have signed up to come and maybe those who will just show up. We just look forward to who will come and be part of this teaching tonight. And so I just thank you now for this opportunity to be in your word, and I ask you for your guidance, your continued guidance through the Psalms. Help me to show or see things that you've shown me that I can pass on. So, Lord, I thank you for this time and the people who have gathered and the people who may be listening in as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we're Psalm 107. It's considered an unknown author. And so you should all have the sheet, you know, that I gave out at the very beginning of this Psalms teaching. And so the majority of these Psalms in Book 5, 28 of the 44 Psalms in this section are unknown. But we have 15 that are attributed to David, and we'll mention those as we go through them. The first one will be the next Psalm, 108. We'll start with 107, which is unknown, and then there's one Psalm that's pretty much dedicated to Solomon, 127. So as we go through all these, and as I've kind of forewarned you, Psalm 119 is the longest Psalm of all, and I do want to spend some time on it, because there's many things to see. In fact, you know, growing in our understanding of the Hebrew alphabet, it's kind of where I picked up on the importance of the Hebrew alphabet for the first time, I think, when I went through this 20 years ago or whatever it was, you know, I noticed that each of the Psalms of Psalm 119 related to a Hebrew character and begins with a Hebrew character, and each verse begins with a Hebrew character. And I thought, whoa, I need to study Hebrew a little bit. And so, and that's where I was really drawn to it. So we'll get to that and hopefully maybe start on it next week, but we'll get as far as we can today, so I don't want to spend any more time explaining. So we're going to get right into Psalm 107. And I'm going to do as I've been doing in the last few books. I'll give you a heads up of what, as I look through each of these psalms and identify the things that I think are particularly significant, and then we'll read through it. And Psalm 107 is one of the longer psalms. It's 43 verses, but I want to break it down into six you know, areas or six categories. Verses 1 to 14, and I use the phrase, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And that's a pretty common phrase biblically and should be in our worship and understanding of our Lord and God our Father. And so we give him the thanks, and for we know that everything he does is good. And we can say he does bring judgment. He does bring different things that we would not think is good, but it's all good. It's according to his plan. So give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Verses 1 to 14, we'll read those. And then verses 15 to 18, let them give thanks to the Lord. So others. 19 and 20, they cried to the Lord and he saved them. We remember that particularly, you know, with the story of Egypt that we're going to be teaching on this week in Vacation Bible School. Joseph. They cried to the Lord, and that's an important phrase because that's what God waits for. God many times waits to answer until he hears our cry, our desperation. And so verses 19 and 20, 21 to 27, let them give thanks. Once again, we're reminded of how important giving the Lord thanks for what he gives us and what he's done and what he's going to do. Verses 28 to 38, they cried, again, that term, they cried to the Lord again, so the second time, and the Lord responded. And we particularly think of the story of Egypt and Moses and so forth. And then verses 39 to 43, whoever is wise, let him heed, and then that last section, consider the great love of the Lord. So how often do we reflect upon the magnitude, the glory of the Lord, and show our appreciation and thanks to the Lord. So let's read through this. I'm going to take each section 1 to 14 first and reflect upon anything. If any thoughts come to mind, please don't be afraid to speak up. Give thanks to the Lord, that's Yahweh, for he is good. His love endures, how long? Forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, Yahweh, say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south, all directions. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out, and this is that important phrase, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness in the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. And then the next part is a shorter one, verses 15 to 18. Let me just read those. Because again, it's what they did and what we should do. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. And then verse 18, to finish this section, they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. And then that third section is, again, it's two verses here. Next two verses. Then they cried. Again, reminding us, what does God wait for? What does God often wait for? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. I'm just going to ask that. Are we crying enough right now for all that we see going on? Not only in Israel and what's happened in the war there, but also what we see the response a lot of places in our country. You know, we had two representatives that were killed up in Minnesota by a person that posed as a policeman yesterday. And so these things are happening around us, that they're, you know, are signs that people are not turning to God and waiting upon the Lord. So, okay, they cried to the Lord and he saved them. Verses 19 and 20. They cried to the Lord. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Then verses 21 to 27. And here should be the response. Let them give thanks to the Lord Yahweh for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. And then verses 28 to 38, those 11 verses I'm going to read, biggest section here. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Once again, he waits for the cries of his people, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. He did it. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste. Because of what? Because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. And what did he do? He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. And then the final verses, 39 to 43, to finish Psalm 107. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord, Yahweh himself. So that's Psalm 107. We'll go through 113 here. It's 13 verses. I'm just going to read through it, comment maybe in a couple places. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, instruments. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, Yahweh, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. And then this verse 4, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Can't get any higher than that. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand. Save us and help us, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my washbasin. Upon Edom I toss my sandal, over Philistia I shout in triumph. All these locations, important. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God? You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies, give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. And so that Psalm 108 is David's psalm, and you can kind of see the war side of what David was going through. So 109, again, is a song of David. It's a longer one, and I just have two divisions, 1 to 29, a continuing cry for help, so we see that here, and then ultimately a praise to the Lord in the last two verses. So let me read this from David's words. O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint an evil man to oppose him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord Yahweh. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, again, Yahweh, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he never thought of doing a kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be like a cloak wrapped about him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord Yahweh's payment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me. But you, O sovereign Lord, deal well with me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, Yahweh, my God. Save me in accordance with your love. Let them know that it is your hand that you, O Lord, Yahweh, have done it. They may curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. My accusers will be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. And then these last two verses. With my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord Yahweh. In the great throng I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save his life from those who condemn him. So that's Psalm 109. Psalm 110, again, is a David psalm, and it's only 7 verses, so it's fairly short. So let me read this. I think this psalm should be familiar to all of you, if you've been around. Some have memorized it. I think I memorized it at one point in time, but I don't think I remember it all anymore. But let's read it. The Lord, Yahweh, says to my Lord. That's interesting. One is Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, and the Lord of the author, David. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This is generally considered a messianic psalm, so as I read it, think of that, and I will comment on it after we're done. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty from the womb of the dawn. You will receive the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. Very important to reflect upon what the future holds. He will drink from a brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. And so I just read a short version to why it's a messianic description. And I can read the whole footnote here, but let me just read what I have. Messianic description. Kingly and priestly roles. Who had those kingly and priestly roles? Jesus, the Messiah. Future defeat, and it describes, I believe, a future defeat of the Antichrist and judging the nations. So this is a futuristic psalm, and is often referred to as the Psalm of David. So Psalm 111 is next, and we go back to the unknown psalms. So I broke it up into, it's 10 verses, but I broke it up into three parts. First three verses, praise the Lord, great his works, his righteousness endures forever. 4-7, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, he remembers his covenant forever. And works, and the works of his hands are faithful and just. In verses 8 to 10, he ordained his covenant forever. The fear of the Lord, Yahweh, is the beginning of wisdom. I think many of us probably have that one memorized too. So let me read the whole thing together, those 10 verses. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord, Yahweh, with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures, how long? Forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord Yahweh is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever. Can there be anything longer than that? Done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And then verse 10, the fear of the Lord, this should be a verse you have memorized, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have what? Good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And so that's another tremendous psalm. So 112, looking at the clock here, see where. 112, it's 10 verses. Again, I broke it down into three verses. It's probably somewhat similar. First three verses, then 4 to 9, and then verse 10 stand alone. But let me read through the whole thing. First three verses. Praise the Lord. Again, we saw that in Psalm 111. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, Yahweh, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord, Yahweh. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. And in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Psalm 113, as we move on here, the time we have left. Again, I broke it down into three sections, and they're similar to these previous two psalms. First three verses, praise the Lord. Verses 4 to 6, the Lord is exalted. In verses 7 to 9, he raises the poor, lifts the needy, and so forth. So let me read the totality of 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, Yahweh. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord. There's four Lords there. That's four Yahwehs. And then there'll be another one here in verse 3. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. And then we go on in verse 4 to 6. Start again with Yahweh. The Lord is exalted over all nations. You know, when we think things are out of control, things are going haywire, they're not. You know, you just wish the war wouldn't happen. You would think peace could come, but it's all in God's timing. So, the Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord, Yahweh, our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? And I hope you just try in your own mind's eye, of seeing the Father, seeing the Lord sit on the throne and seeing Jesus at his right hand above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He's keeping his eyes on not only the heavens where he is, but the earth as well. Who is like the Lord? Let's see. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the worn woman in her home as a happy mother of children. And it concludes again with praise the Lord. Psalm 114. Again, it's 8 verses, and I just put the whole thing together and really talks about when. Is Donna trying to ask a question, or is she looking at the time? Oh, the time. Let me just finish this one. We'll finish 114. It's short. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains, that you skipped like rams? You hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Now this is not Yahweh there, it's Adonai, I believe. At the presence of the God of Jacob. In verse 8, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water? So again, reminding them of their journey in the wilderness. So, everybody want to stop there?
We have 5 minutes.
Okay. Who votes for going on? Okay. Thank you. I'll try to watch it. 15 is 18 verses. I divided it in several parts, 6 different parts, but let me just read through it in the interest of time. One fifteen. Not to us, O Lord, Yahweh, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. And then, O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, Yahweh, small and great alike. May the Lord, Yahweh, make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, Yahweh, and the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I encourage you, I didn't do it. Read how many times the Lord is used there. And that's Yahweh, the Lord, God Almighty himself. So, all right. Let's see. Okay, anybody vote for going on? Okay, we're going to stop there. Okay, majority vote rules. So let's close in prayer. Prepare ourselves for our time of worship and for the rest of this day. Hopefully, I think all of you are involved in some way this day, and we look forward to who God will bring for us, the children, and we just pray for his blessing upon them. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you give us to be in your word. We thank you for this clear word that you've given us in the Psalms. We just lift up to you the praise and honor and glory that only you deserve, and we just thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do. So in the time of troubles that we see, Lord, we know you're still in control. And it may seem troublesome. We may wish it wouldn't be happening, so many of the things that are going on, but you have your plan under control, and it's your in your timing. So we just thank you ahead of time for you being in control of all things. We thank you for this time you've given us in your word and the Psalms. We thank you for each of these Psalms and how they may be spoken to us in a personal way, maybe even encouraging us to memorize some of the Psalms. And we thank you for them. And now, Lord, we look forward to our time of worship. We thank you for this opportunity again this day, on this first day of the week, that we can come into this place and have this place to come to and share with each other our friendship, our fellowship, our words of encouragement, our singing together, our praying together, everything that we do. And so we just thank you ahead of time for all that you have in store for us now and into our time of worship. We pray for each part of our worship service and just ask for a blessing on everything that we see. And we thank you especially, Lord, for the opportunity to share with the young people who may come this evening and through the next four nights. And just ask for a blessing on each one of them and their families, and encourage them to who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would come to that point in their life that this may be the time that will make a difference for each one of them. Thank you, Lord, ahead of time for what we will see this day and in the days to come. We just ask for your blessing and on all of us as we look forward to what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.